Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. I feel like I want to say good morning, Vietnam. But good morning, and thank you so much for tuning in to Just Us Talks with Tisha. I am your host, Tisha Hillman. I am a Maryland-based attorney practicing in the areas of family law, criminal law, and personal injury. If you are just tuning in and have never listened to this show, this is a show where we talk about everything from politics to social justice to the legal field and everything in between. So I want to talk today about some of the crazy stuff that is going on once again in our country. This administration just cannot keep their foot out of it. I mean, it's pretty spectacular when you think about it. You know, to go really 8 years scandal-free and to now have another scandal or something else that's newsworthy in this administration every day of the week, sometimes several times a day. Like, it's really gotten to the point where I think people are really trying to understand and decide whether or not some of the things that is happening that are happening in this administration are solely for the purposes of distraction. Now, that could very well be true. It certainly seems well within reason, given everything that has happened in these 8 short months. Everyone knows that, I guess it was now a week ago, the weekend before, in Charlottesville, there was a white supremacist rally. They claimed that they were marching about the removal of a statue. But we know that that wasn't really the basis. It was just sort of a distraction, if you will, from what their real motive was, which was to chant hate and to incite fear into the community. And that's exactly what they did, leaving one young woman who was a counter-protester, leaving her dead. And every day there's been something else. And now, you know, if you follow this story, you know that our president tried to clean it up. He tried to, offer words of encouragement and basically trying to make everyone believe that he was really condemning the white supremacists. But the very day after he came out with the speech about, oh, we need to come together as a nation and, you know, there is no place for hate and all that kind of stuff, the very next day, the president gave another speech, and he mentioned basically that there was blame to go around on many sides, he repeated that. And he certainly stepped in when he said that. And many Republicans came out against that because there was not blame to go around on many sides. There were people that were marching and shouting crazy things. And then there were those people who were calling for peace, that, you know, who were counter-protesters. So there was not blame to go on many sides. And what many people saw, which is exactly what I saw, was this administration coddles white supremacists. We certainly know that because the cabinet and the administration is full of them. So it stands to reason that this administration would further coddle white nationalists and white supremacists. Now, one of the other things that kind of happened this week was that I believe it was last night, the president had another rally. I believe it was in Arizona. And he's, again, inciting the crowd and dividing the country with his hate speech. And this administration and this president has always had this us against them we are the white knights, and everyone else from the media to anyone who disagrees with me or who thinks differently, who looks differently, all of those people are evil. And so it's really been interesting, but yet scary to watch what's been playing out in this country over the last 8 months, because this administration has from day one divided this nation against it's like the Trump supporters versus everyone else. And so it's really crazy, because when the president was inaugurated, you know, Republicans and everyone was saying, oh, there needs to be a peaceful transition of power and we need to unify the country. And that sounds good. But the fact is that that is the very thing that this administration has not done. This administration has not done anything to unify the country. And like I stated before, in fact, has done everything. And, you know, I mean, and it's blatant name calling, just really, really childish behavior from this administration. And it's troubling. And it's really, it's troubling for me, not only as a black person, a black woman in this country, it's troubling just as a human being to see the way that things are playing out, because the people that support this president are really fanatical, to the point that, you know, you have all sorts of hate incidents on the rise. And, you know, obviously they're being tracked by groups like Southern Poverty Law Center and other groups. These types of things are on the rise in this country. And I fear, especially in fact of white supremacists coming out and saying, we plan to kill many people. These are the people that we're talking about. These are the people that we're dealing with. It's very, very troubling, because it puts the country, specifically minorities and Muslims, right? It puts people like us on high alert. And so, you know, you have people suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, because you don't know what people have already gone through, right? So and you got people suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, looking over their shoulders, being frightened, because you just don't know what's going to come when you look to your right or look to your left, because these people are literally taking out their acts of hate on anyone who does not look like them. And that's what's frightening. And even more so is that we have a president and an administration who fully supports that type of behavior, and who will come out one moment and condemn it, because we know that was just for PR, right? We know that he really said what he meant when he said the first time, you know, about many sides, right? That's what he really meant. And it wasn't until he got backlash and his people told him to clean it up that he came out and cleaned it up. But what he said the first time is what he meant. What he said last night when he was in Arizona around his people, right, that divisive rhetoric, that's what he really meant. And my friends, that is what's troubling. That is what is really harming our country and our society as a whole. And until we have people that are really willing to stand up against all fronts and condemn this type of behavior, not just in words, but also in deeds, right? Because you can say anything, but what are you going to do? And the fact that you have counter-protesters by the thousands standing up against these people to force them back into under their rocks from which they came once they felt that they had a savior in the White House, once these people are forced back under their rocks, hopefully the rest of us can feel sick. But moving on, I want to talk to everybody about parenting. What is parenting? And it's something that, you know, you think about it and you're like, well, you know, automatically you think of, you know, people having the way that it is traditionally, right? People get married or in relationships, they have children, ergo they are the parents, right? So that is absolutely true. But in this society, we know that the definition of parenting or parentage is changing. And, you know, country, including, you know, the on a national level, have legalized same-sex marriage. And so we're changing the definition of parent because, obviously, there are same-sex couples that want to have children and, you know, one of the partners may actually give birth to a child, or they may adopt. Whatever it is, the definition is changing. Even think about when it comes to step-parents. Sometimes there are step-parents that come in and take the role of a biological parent by virtue of just being in the child's life as a constant. And that's really what I want to talk about, because it's important to know what parentage looks like as it pertains to the law, because you don't want to find yourself in a situation in which your role as a parent could be challenged by a third party who is not the natural parent to the child, right? And I'm talking specifically about step-parent situations, because I think for me that's really what I see as the outlier here. Now, obviously, you know, when it comes to same-sex couples, I absolutely believe that both of those parties are the child's parent if they adopt, or if one of the parties gives birth to the child, absolutely. And in that case, if you are in a same-sex relationship and your partner gives birth to the child, what you need to do is you need to adopt the child, because if you do not, you may be faced with what is called, what I refer to as a Conover situation. And there is a case in Maryland that came down to the Court of Appeals last year, and it's in the matter of Conover versus Conover. And this case is important because it deals with a lesbian couple in that very situation where the parties, one of the spouses had a child. The other did not adopt the child. And so when they split, guess what happened? The partner who gave birth to the child, of course, was the natural parent. And they said to the other person, well, you don't have any rights. You're not the parent. And guess what? They're kind of right. And so, folks, that's why if that's where you are, you need to be sure to adopt your partner's child or your child in order to, you know, thereby make them your child under the law, just to be safe. But in Conover, it really deals with what the law defines as de facto parents. And so traditionally, of course, people have looked at de facto parents as parents who, you know, just maybe holding the place of a natural parent, so to speak, right? And what I mean by that is they are a parent by the fact of their existence and constant in the life of the child, right? So that makes them the de facto parent. But in the state of Maryland, until this case, we really did not have, we basically had natural parents against everyone else. And so if you've listened to the show before, you know I've done a show before on the issue of grandparents' rights. And in that, everyone knows how much I love my coffee. And I always talk about how Starbucks Keurig coffee, shout out to Starbucks. I'm actually, that's not a paid endorsement, but maybe it could be. But it's I love my Keurig coffee in the morning. It really helps me. But anyway, so it was natural parents against everyone else. And really, grandparents had no right to visitation or to their grandchildren because they are not the natural parents. And so in order for a grandparent to have any sort of custody or visitation, they had to overcome two different hurdles. So it was either that the natural parent had to be found unfit, or there had to be exceptional circumstances. And all of that has to be overcome before you actually deal with the real issue, is what is in the best interest of the child, right? So now, when the law deals with what is considered these de facto parents, and remember, it's what I said before, that these are parents who may have stepped in the shoes of a natural parent. And so, you know, think about a situation where it's just a viable means to have standing to contest custody or visitation. And so that's where we are now. So we go from natural parents versus everybody else to now the court in Conover has decided that de facto parents, or they basically are different than anybody else. So now de facto parents are not treated like regular third parties where it's natural parents against everybody else. Now the court has said that these de facto parents now have standing in order to challenge the natural parent for parenthood without having those extra hurdles that I just mentioned of having to prove the natural parents, having the court to find the natural parents unfit or there to be no longer the case. And so what this means, folks, is that you have to be careful who you allow in your child's life for any reasonable length of time. Because what the Court of Appeals has done is they've now developed a four-part test to determine what is, in fact, a de facto parent. And so the four steps are, if the biological or adoptive parent consented to and fostered that person's formation and establishment relationship with the child, then you may have an issue. So what did I just say? Folks, you got to be careful who you allow in the life of your child to fill that sort of role. And I've seen it many, many times where a woman may get divorced, and I'm just going to use women for an example. A woman may get divorced, and then she starts dating someone else, right? And say, for instance, she's dating this person for many, many years. And it gets to the point where she says, well, you know, this person is more like a father than the natural father. Be careful, because if that person can meet the court's new guidelines for de facto parents, they may be able to challenge you for custody. And there have been situations in other jurisdictions in which a step parent was able to get custody of a child above the natural parent. So you got to be careful, because Conover changes the game when it comes to third party de facto parents being able to challenge custody. Now, the second prong, I guess, if you will, for the test is that the person and the child had to have lived together in the same household. So again, be careful who you allow around your children. So you're it's okay, obviously, if, you know, the person and the child do not live in the same household and they may see the child occasionally. But if you are intentionally fostering a relationship and a bond between your child and a third party, you got to be careful. Now, the third party for the Conover test is that the person assumed obligations of parenthood. Like, example, they took a significant responsibility in the child's care, in their education, in their development, including things like child support. Or, I don't want to label it child support, but yes, child support, you know, just by way of supporting the child. And they're doing all of these things without any expectation of financial compensation. So that really, that takes out people like nannies and au pairs and babysitters and stuff like that, right? So it takes out those people because there is a expectation of financial contribution or financial compensation. So in this case, if you have someone who is filling that parental role, careful. And the final prong under Conover is that the petitioner or the person that we're talking about has been in a parental role for a length of time. And having done so, the length of time is sufficient to have established a bond in which the child is bonded with the person and now dependent on the child, or they're dependent on one another in a parental nature. So back to my example in which I stated, you know, woman gets divorced, she gets remarried. Now, or say for instance, she's not even remarried. She's dating someone whom she has moved into the residence. That person has now formed this really, really close bond with the child. They're taking the child to school. They're making sure the child is, you know, they may be going to parent-teacher conferences. I see this kind of stuff all the time. And I get it, folks, because it's only natural to want the person that you're with to accept your children. But you have to really, really be careful, because what you don't want is a situation in which you're in court. Because what would happen is that the natural parent would be looking and thinking, oh, my God, this is unfair. How is it possible that this person who is not even the parent can have the gall to challenge me for custody, and I am the parent, right? So what you don't do is you don't put yourself in a situation. And my goal in doing all of these shows that I do is to give my listeners information that will help them later on to possibly avoid mistakes that will have them in litigation. Now, I do realize that that may be taking money out of my own pocket. I understand that. But it's important that people have information to make them aware of how to deal with other people in other situations as we navigate this thing called life, right? Because my belief is life is hard enough on a day-to-day basis without having extra monkey wrenches thrown in. And so if there's something that I can do to help people to navigate this thing a little bit better, then I've done my job. And so, folks, what I want to stress is be careful. I get that you want your child to be accepted by the new person that you're with, but you don't want a Conover situation. Now, one of the ways in which this case really leaves me wanting is that it really doesn't delve into what happens when, well, let me back up for a second. So it really doesn't address the fact that they're two biological parents, right? So it doesn't address that issue at all. So it doesn't address, say, for instance, you have two biological parents who are active in the child's life, but yet an interloper has been, for all intents and purposes, now in the life of the child, And now the interloper wants to challenge the parents for custody, right? It doesn't really address that. It really kind of only speaks to the situation in which this case came about, which was a same-sex couple. But what about the situation when there's two parents in the life of the child, right? So I believe that, you know, something is going to come along, likely through, you know, litigation, in which someone is going to challenge that very thing. You know, again, this case has only been out, you know, for about a year. It came down the pike, I believe it was July of 2016. And so I fully expect that there's going to be litigation after this that is going to spell out just what I stated about the situation where there's two natural parents who are in the child's life. And so, you know, hopefully we'll get more clarity later down the road. But for now, folks, this is what we're dealing with. So the lesson of this show today is don't be a terrible person, right? because as we talked about at the beginning of the show, all of the craziness that is going on in this country. And, you know, with that, just don't be a terrible person. Because my show is not only about the law, but it's also about promoting justice, promoting equality. And that's why my show is called Just Us Talks with Tisha, because that's what I believe in fully. And when it comes to my legal practice, I believe in getting justice for people. I believe fully in being a voice for people who may just need help with navigating the legal system. So don't be a terrible person. If you want to be active in resisting white supremacy and racism and things of that nature, one of the things that I really suggest is following a group like the ACLU, donating to a group like the ACLU, donating to a group like the Southern Poverty Law Center. There's also tons and tons and tons of other organizations who are doing this work to promote equality. And folks, that's what's important, because if we're going to have a better world than we have right now, we really have to promote peace and tolerance, because that is certainly what's missing. It's tolerance for people who don't look like you. People who disagree with you are not the enemy. They just happen to disagree with you. And one of my favorite lines of former President Barack Obama is, we can disagree without being disagreeable. And folks, let's disagree without being disagreeable. And when it comes to your children, be careful about whom you allow to form lasting relationships with your children. It may sound nice in theory, but it can come back later and certainly haunt you. So just make sure, if you have any questions, give my office a call at 301-7996. You can also visit my website at www.tshillmanlaw.com. On my website, you can schedule a consultation. You can get more information about the work that I do in my firm. And if you would like to schedule a consultation and you need the contact information that is also listed on my website, be sure to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. And folks, until this time next week, next Wednesday at 10 o'clock, always remember that justice is sometimes just us. Have a good week, folks.